Anyhow, Jeremiah 23. Verse 5 is another one of the scriptures that Christ fulfilled, but we're going to look at the whole of the rest of verse 5 until the end of the chapter, because it's some interesting stuff. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. When you see the word branch, it's the same word that you would think of as a sprout or a as you know, in Isaiah 53, it talks about a root out of dry ground. Well, it's the same idea. It's something that's coming up. So it's branches, not like a tree branch, but it's. I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Notice it doesn't say on the earth; it says in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now, does everybody understand the definition of a true Jew or a true one of the inheritors? Just for the record, let's go, keep your marker in Jeremiah, but let's go to Romans 2. Verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now, again, Paul is saying that the physical Jew comes from the word Judah. Does everybody realize that? Judah was what the name for the two southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. And then Israel is what they call the 10 northern tribes, which went into the diaspora. So the promises of God that were talked about in Judah in Jeremiah just a minute ago, they go not to the Jew, which is whose circumcision is outward, but to the Jew, the true Jew, whose circumcision is inward of the heart. And so it's imperative that you understand that, otherwise you will get confused when you read the Old Testament. All right, back to Jeremiah. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up, and which led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country, and from all countries whither I had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. Now, when it says the north country, it's just another way of saying north is always towards evil. And so, I don't know, remember if we ever studied or not, but the sacrifices where the blood was sprinkled on which side of the altar, of the brazen altar that the sacrifices were killed, or where the blood was sprinkled, it all is critical. So when it talks about he will bring them up out of the north country, he's talking about the whole world and all the lands where his people, his true people, are. Okay? Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man and like a man whom wine hath overcome, because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. For the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth. The pleasant, not swearing, not saying goddamn, because of the false oaths. The pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as a slippery way, or as a, you know, as a dangerous path in the darkness. They shall be driven on, and they shall fall therein, for it will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation. I have seen the folly. Now, the word folly there means ridiculous, or, you know, stupid. I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. Now, he's talking about the real prophets, but they're prophesying as if they were in Samaria. And I lost my place. And they prophesied in Baal. In other words, they're saying they were Israel, but they're prophesying from the voice of Baal, or the voice of Samaria, and cause my people to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery, they walk in lies, they strengthen the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and in the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. That's a little dangerous. And remember, the wicked is almost universally is those that are teaching self-seeking in the name of God. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall, for from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land. Does it sound familiar? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. I wonder if a lot of the modern day speakers have ever read this. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said, you shall have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. Now the reason they say that is because that's the tickling of the ears. That's what they want to hear. Peace, no evil shall come upon you. You shall have peace. You know, you hear, if you give money to this ministry, when this evil comes, it won't come upon you. You'll be safe and secure. You heard that any time, Ronnie?
I heard it a lot. Fertility and success.
For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Now, the whirlwind is always synonymous with the threshing floor wind. So this wind has already been sent forth. We just don't see it yet. It's just like everything's all, the whole world is on fire, but we just don't see it because it's burning slowly. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you shall consider it perfectly. Well, hopefully that you do consider it perfectly. I hope that none of you will follow the voice of these false prophets. Now, including the false prophets of your own mind. Some of you may have followed a few of these guys in the past, but I hope you, hopefully no more.
Oh, the things they said.
I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my word, then they should have turned them from their evil way, caused them to repent, and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? I have heard what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? It's like a fire to test whether or not his disciples are going to continue in his temptation instead of their own. Now, remember when persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by they are offended? So be very careful. Be very careful what you get offended at. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. It's like if some new thing comes up, like if gold dust comes up. Somebody in South America saw gold dust, supposedly. Actually, it was, you know what it was. Then pretty soon, 15 other of these guys will have gold dust. If one of them says, I'm a king's kid, then pretty soon everybody else says I'm a king's kid. I mean, they steal everyone the words they're speaking in God's name, but they're really the words of Baal, because there's no originality. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same things the prophets of Baal were saying 5,000 years ago.
No. Happening inside of them. It's just,
right.
They probably stole the words of Baal from each other.
Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And when this people are the prophet or a priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. Now what does the word burden mean? What is the burden of the Lord? If you see many commentaries, it just says it means what is the word of the Lord, or what is the oracle of the word, or what does God want to say to you? I don't want you watch it. We'll see what happens. It gets pretty interesting here. Thou shalt say unto them, what burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, the burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall you say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, what hath the Lord answered? And what hath the Lord spoken? And the burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. For you have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus shalt you say to the prophet, what hath the Lord answered thee? And what hath the Lord spoken? Now, the word burden there is the Hebrew word masa, which means something that you lift off. but its intent here is to mean what is going to happen. This is what is going to happen. Sometime during the 90s, God is going to destroy the homosexuals by fire. I mean, some of the guys said that, more than one. I mean, it's just that they supposedly say this is the burden of the Lord. This is what's going to happen. But here it says clearly, thou shalt no more say the burden of the Lord. For every man's word is his burden. But when every man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God, because we're speaking from the place under the wings of the cherubim. There is no more prophesying. Is this clear? Yeah. Does everybody understand that?
I was thinking about where it talks about perverting the word of the Lord. It's just mixing it with self as opposed to just being the oracle.
Right. All right. But since you say the burden of the Lord, therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this word, the burden of the Lord, and I have sent unto you, saying you shall not say the burden of the Lord, therefore behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you, and I will forsake you, and the city that I gave you, and your fathers, and cast you out of my presence, and will bring an everlasting reproach upon you, and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten.
Like, if you want to know what's going to happen, I guess I'll tell you. Here's
what. Here it is.
You insist on it.
Here it is. Well, there's several other places like that we could look at, but I want to spend the rest of the time we have in taking a look at what happened with Paul with regard to what he saw and what he was supposed to say. All right? Let's go to Acts 26. Paul is before Agrippa. Everybody remember who he's a king? What was he?
King Agrippa.
Who was he? Proconsuls of Rome.
Proconsul guy,
whatever little proconsul he had there.
So he's like
Proconsul. Huh? Proconsul. Yeah, he's one of over one of the districts of that of Judea. And you know, at this time, it was just about the height of the Roman Empire. And the land of Judah, or Judea, was the least significant of any part of the Roman Empire. The crucifixion of Christ wouldn't have even made Fox News. I mean, it was insignificant from the standpoint of the Roman Empire. Thousands of people were crucified. I think in one time, along the Appian Way, they crucified, one of the Caesars crucified something like 6,000 of the people that had rebelled against him. And they had them up and down along the Appian Way, and they just let the bodies rot. And so, from our perspective, we look back and we think that this crucifixion was huge from the standpoint of what was going on in the world. It was the ultimate thing from the standpoint of what's going on spiritually, but it's important to recognize that the world didn't understand it. Didn't even see it, didn't even take notice of it. And so, it wasn't until Constantine allegedly had this vision and accepted Christ that he proclaimed that Christianity was the state religion, and people begin to take notice of Jerusalem. Does everybody understand that? From a just the things of the Spirit rarely make any, even the massive things like the Transfiguration or the Crucifixion or the Resurrection. They're not even a ripple in history. But for us, they're the most important things in the universe.
They're barely recorded. You can't really find any, like,
mean the transfer of spirits?
Huh?
Transfer of spirits, what's that?
That's a lie.
That's what Benny's teaching.
I know, he got it from that woman.
Al Smith?
Yeah.
He said it's in the Bible.
He says everything's in the Bible. All right. Whereupon I went to... Let's start in verse 12, chapter 26. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, or it's to resist the divine impulse is a better translation. Now, what had happened to Paul? Paul was the Hebrew of the Hebrews, one of the most learned in the Sanhedrin. His downfall began when he debated Stephen and lost the debate. Stephen was sentenced to death by stoning by the Sanhedrin, and it was given unto Paul to hold the cloak, Stephen's cloak, while they stoned him. And as he watched Stephen, you know, he saw something. He saw Stephen when he looked up unto heaven as he was dying, and essentially there was absolutely no fear. It was perfect peace. He lost his debate with this ignorant fisherman. He was the most learned of the learned. And then shortly thereafter, he was sent to Damascus to persecute or to take care of this sect up there, a Jewish sect of people of the way. And that's when he had his Damascus Road experience. But it was precipitated by all these other things. You know, he saw the futility of maybe what he had believed in Stephen. So Stephen became the sign and the wonder to him. And then he was troubled by that. And so he had come to the end of himself, and that's when Christ revealed himself. And it says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to resist the heavenly impulse. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now just because he said, who art thou? I've heard sermons on this. Because he said, How art thou, Lord? He knew it was, you know, he was acknowledging that Jesus was Lord. But if you had this kind of experience, you'd call, anybody with any sense would call. Yeah. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose. Now, he's about to tell him what the purpose is. To make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen. He just saw Jesus. And of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. You're not to be a witness for anything other than Christ. Not for what he does for you, not how he fixes you, not for how he does anything. And the word witness here, remember, is the Greek word martyr. So to witness is to die. Not to get up and give your quote-unquote testimony. Delivering thee from the people. And from the Gentiles, whom I now send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So, he's to testify of that which he has seen, and he had just seen Jesus, and those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Is that clear to everybody? All right, let's go to Acts 28.
I have a question here. Yeah, verse 18. It says, open your eyes, turn to light him from the power of Satan unto God. So,
the power of Satan is everything in the world. He is the god of this world. It's not you deciding or some preacher telling you that there's some part of you that's under Satan's control and That's not about it. It's about delivering you from Satan, who is the god of this world by God's choice. He's also the god of your bodies, the physical bodies. And that's why it means when we render unto, well, that's not the way I want to, the scripture that talks about if we don't resist Satan, you know, you then the lion lays down with the lamb, and you're dead unless he is resurrected. Well, how do you resist? What does that mean?
Yeah.
We'll study that tomorrow. We don't have time right now, okay? I just wanted you to see this one. Go to chapter 28, verse 30. Paul's in Rome, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So he teaches those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, because he had seen Christ, and Christ said that to testify of those things which you are now seeing in me, seeing him, and those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Now, hopefully you've been around, some of you have been around me for more than 25 years. I've never taught anything other than where he appeared unto me and where I have seen him in things. And so the mystery of teaching and preaching is the same story. It's all Jesus in 1,000,000,000,000 different ways. But it's critical that even in Paul, the only thing he's to testify of is Jesus. Not about how you get rich or how you get this or how you get that. That's prophesying in the name of Baal from Samaria. Amen?
Yeah. I remember when you read, you were on the radio or something, talking about that Jeremiah. I'd never heard it, you know, but when I heard you talking about that and I understood that all these voices that, you know, people have been saying this and that, you know, especially the charismatic movement, that's just obvious, you know. That's the obvious, you know, thing it's referring to, stealing your own, you know, other men's words and stuff. But, you know, it goes so much deeper to all these voices.
It talks about the voices that are in your head.
Fire, it's like a hammer.
Yeah, it's like it to prove. That's the test. His word is like a, well, we just read it. Anybody else?
Yeah, I was thinking how we have met for 30 years, many times a week, and that's always the exact same subject, basically. And there's no other. What other thing in the world could hold that kind of interest over that amount of time, over that number of meetings, and still be fresh and new every time? It's unbelievable.
Anyway. We're ready to go diamond.
Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that break the rock in pieces? And it's, you know, my ministers are flaming fire. That's what you have to be if you're going to speak his word. And it's the opposite of what your mind wants to speak. Well, there's a few more. scriptures that we'll talk about. And remind me tomorrow morning, we'll talk about the resist the devil and he'll flee from you, okay? Because it also says resist not evil. So it seems like a conflict, but it's really a deep truth. So did Bojo's call you?
No, they called.
Ronnie? And what time did they say they'd be back?
She didn't say what time. She may call today. I'll be involved.
They're in New Orleans, right?
They're still now in New Orleans?
I think so.
Yes. Oh, okay.
They're
well,
they're not going to be back till this evening.
Yeah. Okay. All righty.
Did you water the plant?
You okay? All righty, take it, big guy.